Good morning. So nice to see you all again. Last week, we asked the question, why schlep to shul? And we explored together the unique quality of tefillah inside of the Beit Knesset. This morning, I would like to look together with you at the mitzvah, if it is a mitzvah, of tefillah b'tzibur, davening together with a minyan. And we'll actually ask that very question. Is tefillah b'tzibur, is davening with a minyan a mitzvah? Or a ma'ala, is it a chovah, an obligation, a requirement? Or is it just a ma'ala, an advantage, something which assists with the success of one's tefillah? And l'may nafkamina, what are the practical implications? Halacha l'maaseh, if we say that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah, or if it's just a ma'ala b'alma. So we'll begin by taking a look at a gemara, which we actually began with last week. We saw part of it last week. One moment, let me put it up on the screen for all of you. Share screen. Okay, I trust you can all see the screen. Good. So the Gemara there in Brachot and Daf Zayin and Daf Ched, as we saw last week, has this conversation between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Nachman, where Rabbi Yitzchak asks Rav Nachman, why weren't you in shul? And Rav Nachman says that, you know, he was, according to Rashi, he was weak, maybe he was sick. And so Rabbi Yitzchak offers him a number of suggestions, one of which is that he should daven at the time that the tzibur davens, because there's a value in that, there's a strength in numbers, there's a koach to tefillah b'tzibur. And then the Gemara continues and offers a number of psukim, a number of sources, a number of proof texts, which describe this koach of the tzibur, this special quality of davening together with a minyan. Again, take a look where I've underlined, because this is important and informs our discussion this morning. Rabbi Natan Omer. So the Gemara brings another braita, Tanina Mihachi. We have this idea from another braita that the time at which a tzibur davens is a favorable time and the tzibur is not turned away and Hashem doesn't despise their tefillah. So the Gemara brings another bright, another source which proves this. Rabbi Natan Omer, Rabbi Natan says, Minayin she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'es b'tefillatan shel rabim. From where do we see that God does not despise the tefillah of the tzibur, of the minyan, of the public? Okay? Of the congregation, the group. Okay, but the implication is that we're talking about a minyan of 10. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, Hein el kabir velo yimas. Okay, Hashem, behold, Hashem does not despise the numerous. In other words, when you have a significant group of people together, Hashem does not despise their tefillah. Hashem accepts their tefillah, uchtiv, right? And the pasuk says, it's written, padav shalom nafshi mikravli, that he redeemed my soul, Hashem redeemed my soul in peace from battle, right? So what does it mean, Hashem redeemed my soul in peace? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara continues, the Braita continues and says that God says, kol osek batorah, all who engage in Torah, in acts of kindness, and again, what's important for our conversation this morning, daven with the tzibur, daven with a minyan, okay? In that case, we apply that Hashem redeems their soul in peace, right? This pasuk, one who davens with a tzibur, ma'ala ani alav ki'ilu pida'ani li, ulevanai miben umot haolam. It's as if I redeem, Hashem redeems me and my children from among the nations of the world. It's a question on how to exactly touch this pasuk. Are we saying that we are kivyachol redeeming Hashem, that or that Hashem is redeeming us? But somehow it's understood that davening together with the tzibur, along with learning Torah, along with acts of kindness, that somehow brings about the geula. By the way, some point out that, you know, just as Chazal here and in many places praise one who davens together with the tzibur, one who davens with a minyan, and here it seems to be saying it brings about the geula. In some places, the Achronim suggest just the opposite. If a person maybe doesn't daven with the tzibur, maybe it causes the geula to take longer. Okay, one wants to hasten the geula. Maybe if a person doesn't daven with the tzibur, maybe we say the opposite, that it makes the geula take longer. In any case, here and in many places, Chazal praise one who davens together with the tzibur, and they describe the koach, the strength, the merit, the advantage in davening with the tzibur. As we said last week, tzibur is roshei tevot, tzadikim, benonim, and rishayim. Everyone davens together, no matter who you are. And the tefillot are lifted, or the tefillot ascend together. And that, of course, is the benefit for a person who maybe on his own merits doesn't warrant his tefillah being listened to, but his tefillah ascends together with the tefillah of the tzibur, of the community. But the Gemara doesn't say that it's a mitzvah or that it's a chovah. The Gemara here and in other places suggests that it is a ma'ala. It is an advantage. It's preferable. One can get his tefillah heard that way. Maybe it even hastens the redemption. But doesn't say that it's an obligation to daven with a tzibur, with a minyan. So that, of course, is our question this morning. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a chovah to daven with a tzibur? Daven together with minyan. And so we'll look together at a number of passages in the Gemara which may suggest that it is a mitzvah. Here, take a look in source number 2. This is a Gemara from Brachot and Daf Mem Zayin. There's also a parallel passage in the Gemara in Gittin. Now, the Gemara there in Brachot, it's in the 7th parak of Brachot. The Gemara is discussing the concept of a zimun, of joining together for Birkat HaMazon. And it's in that context, the Gemara brings this statement of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, here in source number 2. Okay? The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Tisha ve'eved mitzdarfi. Here he's talking about a minyan. Okay? Could be maybe a minyan for zimun, for Birkat HaMazon, or a minyan for tefillah. There's a question whether the two are the same requirements, or maybe they're different, completely different, whether we can draw parallels and even learn out halachot from one to another. We spoke a number of months ago already about making minyanim via Zoom, making minyanim from a mirpeset, from a porch. And so what if one is not in the same room as 9 other men? You know, can we be mitzaref to the minyan as long as you can see one another? So some want to say, well, we learn from the laws of Birkat HaMazon by a zimun, by a minyan, by Birkat HaMazon, as long as they could see one another, they could be mitzaref together. Does that apply to tefillah as well? But in any case, it's in that context of Birkat HaMazon where we have this teaching of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, which is talking about a minyan. And he says that in order to make up a minyan, you can have 9, meaning 9 full-fledged Jewish men, and an eved. And here we're talking about an eved Kanani. An eved Kanani who has a status similar to a woman in terms of his obligation in mitzvot. Okay, when he is ultimately freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Eved Kanani is an interesting status. It's beyond the scope of our conversation this morning, but he's obligated in certain mitzvot, as you know. So, and as this, you know, quasi-status. So for the purposes of a minyan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's teaching that you can have 9 full-fledged Jews and 1 Eved. Meitvei, but they challenged this, and they brought a ma'aseh, a story, an incident that happened. Rabbi Eliezer happened with Rabbi Eliezer once. She nichnas lebet ha'kneset. Rabbi Eliezer went into shul, v'lo matza asara, and he did not find 10 men. V'shichre ravdo, v'ishlimo la'asara. Okay, so he freed his slave, he freed his servant, his Eved Kanani, and he joined together with a minion of 10 to make up the quorum. So The Gemara asks, wait a minute, shichrir in, lo shichrir lo, does that imply that if he was freed, he would count towards the minyan, but had he not been freed, had Rabbi Eliezer not freed his slave, he would not have been included in the minyan? But wait a minute, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi told us that 10 Jews plus one eved is enough. So why couldn't he have stayed an eved? This story seems to challenge the teaching of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because the story says that Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave. Why did he free his slave? Presumably he didn't have to free his slave. From the story, it would seem that freeing the slave allowed him to join into the minyan. Had he not freed him, he would not have been able to participate in the minyan. So no, the Gemara clarifies what actually took place, okay? And says, oh, you know what happened in this story? Trei itztrichu. Ah, there were actually, in this story, when Rabbi Eliezer went to shul, they needed two people. There were only 8 full-fledged Jews, Jewish men, and they needed two people to make up a minyan. So what happened? They needed two. Oh, it just so happened Rabbi Eliezer came into shul with 2 avadim, with 2 servants. And the Gemara says, shichrer chad, denafik bechad. Oh, he freed one, turning him into a full-fledged Jew. Now you have 9. And then they were yotzei the minyan with that that 10th Evet, oh, and this now shtims, this now is no longer a challenge with what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said when he said that you can have 9 Jews plus an Evet. In this story, Rabbi Eliezer came in with 2 Avadim, he freed one, making 9 Jews, and then 9 Jews plus 1 Evet. Oh, okay. So now the Gemara asks the question, but how did we allow Rabbi Eliezer to do this, or how did Rabbi Eliezer have the right to do this? Because there's a mitzvah, which, and again, the whole concept of Eved Kenani is far beyond the scope of our class this morning, but there's a mitzvah which would seem to suggest that the Eved is supposed to be with you forever, ad infinitum, okay? So the Gemara asks a question, how did Rabbi Eliezer do this? How did he free his slave? V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Kol ha-mishachrer avdo over ba'aseh. All who free their slave, their Eved Kenani, okay, again, we're talking about an Eved Kenani here, not an Eved free, they are over, they violate an aseh, a mitzvah aseh, positive mitzvah from the Torah. Shene'emar, as the Torah says, it's a pasuk in Parshat Behar, Vayikra chaf hei memvav, Le'olam behem ta'avodu. They are supposed to work for you forever, for eternity. You're seemingly not supposed to free them. Again, it's beyond the scope of the shiur, exactly what this means. But the Gemara qualifies it and says, no, lidvar mitzvah shani. No, it's different when it comes to a mitzvah. In other words, yes, maybe we say you should not free your slave, but you can free him if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. But then the Gemara asks, wait a minute, for the sake of a mitzvah, how do we allow you to perform one mitzvah through the violation of another mitzvah, right? How do we allow you to violate one mitzvah in order to perform another? How do we allow you to violate this mitzvah? Le'olam behem ta'avodu. You're violating le'olam behem ta'avodu. Okay, you're fulfilling maybe a mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah haba b'aveirah. It's a mitzvah that is accomplished through a sin, through a transgression. And the Gemara qualifies, no, mitzvah dirabim shani. It's different when we're talking about the mitzvah of the community, of the rabim, of the group. Okay? So here, Rashi explains, what is the mitzvah? What mitzvah are we talking about, which seemingly allows Rabbi Eliezer to free his slave? It's a mitzvah of Abim, a mitzvah of the community. To allow the community to daven with a minyan, to say dvarim shep kedusha, to answer to kedusha, to kaddish, to baruch hu, etc. Okay, we have Gemara in Brachot on Daf Chaf Aleph, which says that dvarim shep kedusha, things like kedusha, kaddish, baruch hu, must be said with a minyan. The Gemara brings the pasuk, v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Okay. Hashem is sanctified through b'nei Yisrael when there is a quorum. The Gemara there defines what is a quorum, what is a group. But Hashem is sanctified only when there is a group. So Rashi says that's a mitzvah de rabbi. Okay, that's a mitzvah of the masses. Now, it would sound, l'chora, from this Gemara, that, yeah, maybe tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah. Not just a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah derabim. It's a very big mitzvah, it's an important mitzvah. A mitzvah which we allow you to accomplish maybe through an avera of freeing your slave. It's not a typical mitzvah. It's a special mitzvah, it's a mitzvah derabim. That would seem to be how Rashi understands this. But again, the question is, you know, how do we allow a person to seemingly violate a mitzvah min ha-Torah for a mitzvah mid-Rabbanan? Even if we assume that tefillah b'tzibur is indeed a mitzvah, it would be a mitzvah mid-Rabbanan. Okay, so Tosfot there, just for the sake of time, we're not going to look at it together, but Tosfot explains that we do have an example by Avelut, where a mitzvah mid-Rabbanan can push off an aseh of the Torah. Okay. The Rashba points out the lashon of the Gemara there. It's a mitzvah derabim. It's a commandment or a performance of the community, so it's more weighty, it's more significant than just the stam mitzvah. So yes, the mitzvah derabim of the Rabbanan, the mitzvah of the Jewish people coming together and making a minyan, even though it's only midrabanan, but since it's a mitzvah derabim, it's more weighty and it allows us to push off this aseh min ha-Torah. Other Rishonim, like the Ritva, point out that maybe the mitzvah of lo'olam b'hem ta'avodu is not a typical aseh. It's not a typical aseh. In any case, the Rishonim struggle with how to reconcile the fact that we're allowing you seemingly to push off a mitzvah min ha-Torah for a mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. But many point out, you see from this Gemara here, that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah. Okay, it's not just an advantage or a mala, but indeed is a mitzvah. According to the Chavot Yair, Rav Yair Bacharach, who lived in 17th century Germany, it's a big mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. He claims that it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, okay, which again, we're trying to reconcile how we allow you to push off this aseh min ha-Torah of l'olam b'hem ta'avodu, of freeing your slave. So according to the Chavot Yair, he says, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to daven together with the tzibur. V'haraya, the Gemara I previously mentioned, Brachot Daf Chaf Aleph, where we say that we learn out the fact that Dvarim Shebikdusha, things like Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, etc., need to be said together with a minyan because of the pasuk, V'nigdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. So according to the Chavot Yair, that's not just an asmachta be'alma. It's not just a pasuk that Chazal bring in order to reinforce their enactment, but no, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, according to the Chavot Yair. Answering Kiddusha, saying Kaddish, Baruch Hu, together with the minyan, is a mitzvah min ha-Torah of v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Okay. And so that's how he explains why it allows us to push off this mitzvah of l'olam b'hem ta'avodu. Okay. So that's a big chiddush. But he says that tefillah b'tzibur is not just any mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's a kiyum of v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, I will be sanctified among the children of Israel when they answer these things together with a minyan, which can only be accomplished when you have a minyan. And that's how he understands how Rabbi Eliezer was able to free his slave. Okay, and here I put the rush. It seems Chabot Yair seems to be based on this rush. The rush also evokes this pasuk, v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Okay? And he says that, you know, the mitzvah of the rabbim is different because, again, it's causing about this performance of the mitzvah, v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, d'hainu aseh d'mekadshim et Hashem ba'asara b'rabim. You're fulfilling a positive mitzvah of sanctifying Hashem's name among 10 people, a quorum of individuals. So Chavad Yair seems to shtim with the rush here. Others bring a Gemara from Pesachim to suggest that tefillah b'tzibur is indeed a mitzvah. There, we're talking about washing hands, we're talking about dough. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, here in source number 7, it's Gemara Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav. So Rabbi Abau said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Legabel ulitfila ulenetiat yadayim arba milim. Okay, someone that is kneading the dough, he's working with the dough, he has to have clean hands, pure hands, so he has to walk arba milim, a distance of 4 mil, in order to wash his hands, in order to make sure that his hands are pure. Ulitfila, we'll have to explain what that means. Are we saying that a person has to walk 4 mil for tefillah to make a minyan? Or are we saying that we're talking about the distance a person would have to walk to get water to wash his hands before tefillah? And that's a machloket rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. But the Gemara says that legabel, someone who's kneading the dough, litfilah for prayer, ulentilat yadayim, and to wash hands. Again, what is the washing hands here talking about? Rashi says it's to eat. We're talking about washing hands before bread. So that a person has to walk arba milim. So Rashi understands tefillah here to mean just that, tefillah. Right? We're not talking about washing hands for tefillah, but we're talking about tefillah, that a person has to walk 4 mil in order to make a minyan, in order to participate in a minyan. Okay? Which would imply that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, we would not have to impose that on a person. We wouldn't impose that. A person would have to walk 4 mil, be matriach himself, that significant distance. And it's a whole discussion, what we're talking about. Is it actually walking 4 mil? Are we talking about a distance? Or are we talking about traveling the time it would take to walk 4 mil? A meal is 2,000 amot, which is approximately 18 minutes. That's what we assume, somewhere between 18 to 24 minutes of different shitot. Let's say we're talking about 18 minutes. So that would be 72 minutes. So Rashi here in source number 8, where I've underlined, he says, V'chein l'tfilah. He understands this Gemara to mean simply, a person has to walk 4 mil for prayer. Ima halech adam baderech, uva et lalun v'litpalel. Person's traveling, right? And he could find a place to sleep and daven there by himself. But wait, im yesh bet knesset lefanav berichuk arba milin holech umitpalel sham v'lan sham. But if he has a shul, if he knows that, oh, there's a Jewish community and a shul, 4 mil, if I continue on this road at a 4 mil distance from where I am now, so the Gemara says, according to Rashi, Rashi says he should continue and walk and daven there and sleep there. Okay, Rashi again understands this requirement to be on tefillah. That's what the Gemara is talking about. A person has to be matriach himself 4 mil. He has to travel 4 mil for tefillah to daven. Okay, so according to Rashi, that would mean that a person has to travel an additional 2,000 amot. Again, it's a whole discussion whether we're talking about distance or how long it takes. So a person would have to travel for approximately 72 minutes, let's say, in order to get a minyan. So if it's a choice of staying where he is now or continuing, Rashi says he has to continue for tefillah. But take a look at Tosfot there, here in source number 9. Tosfot agrees with the opinion of Rashi. It appears to me that Rashi's correct, the Perusha Kuntris. Velo ke'aruch, recites the Aruch. He says, Rashi is not like the Aruch. The Aruch understands the Gemara differently. According to the Aruch, what is litfila? Hainu lirchotz yadav, litpalel. According to the Aruch, when the Gemara says that a person has to go arba mil in order to daven, it's talking about in order to get water to wash his hands to daven. Which, you know, that reading of the Aruch seems to stem a little better with the context there, where we're talking about washing hands, getting water for kneading dough, nitilat yadayim before eating. It would make sense, maybe the reading of the Aruch, that we're talking about washing one's hands before tefillah. And that's how the Rambam assumes. The Rambam also assumes like the Aruch and brings this down in his discussion of nitilat yadayim. So, but, you know, it would seem like, according to Rashi, that this Gemara implies that it is a mitzvah to daven with the tzibur. If we're saying you have to go arba mil, a distance of 2,000 amot or 72 minutes, so then yes, it implies that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah, not just a mala, not just an advantage, not just something that Chazal praise, but something that Chazal require. Because here, look, they impose on an individual that he has to travel a significant distance in order to daven with a minyan. Again, according to Rashi's reading, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Tosfot cites the Aruch, the Rambam paskins like the Aruch. Interesting, I put a passage from the Ramban's commentary on the Torah here in source number 10. Shabbat and the Chagim, they are called holy convocations. Okay, Mikra'e Kodesh. So what does that mean? What is a holy convocation? Where we come together, Mikra'e Kodesh, we come together. So the Ramban here in source number 10, in his Pirush to Parashat Emor, explains what is a holy convocation. Sheyu bayom hazeh kulam kru'im v'ne'safim. Everyone gathers together, the tzibur comes together and calls out together and proclaims this day holy. Kimitzvahi, because it is a mitzvah, it is a commandment, it is an obligation. Al Yisrael, on the Jewish people, likabetz, bebeit ha'elokim, biyom moed. It's a commandment, it's an obligation for the Jewish people to gather together in the house of God, in the Beit HaMikdash, or presumably in a Beit Knesset, right? Come together in prayer on a Yom Mo'ed, on a holiday, or on Shabbat. L'kadesh hayom b'farhesia, to sanctify the day publicly, but tefillah, through prayer, v'halel, and if it's a Yom Tov, with halel, right? Praise, okay? Lakel, singing out praise to God, thanks to God. B'ksut nikiyah, with nice clothing, v'chule, eating, drinking, etc. So the Ramban explains that gathering together in prayer is a mitzvah. Okay, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mikra'i Kodesh. But again, by saying that we come together to sanctify Hashem, it's a mitzvah to come together to sanctify Hashem together in prayer. Some want to suggest that according to the Ramban here, this means that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah. It's not just stam, a ma'ala, an advantage that one has when he prays together. But no, it's a mitzvah. And the haraya, you have to come together on Shabbat and Yom Tov in the shul as a kiyum of this, and it's a mitzvah to call out praise to Hashem to sanctify him, the Rabbi. Okay. What's interesting is, if you look very carefully at the language of the Rambam, and we'll see in a moment, the language of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not so clear that according to the Rambam and according to the Shulchan Aruch, tefillah b'tzibur is a chovah, is an obligation. Okay, maybe we have to be a little brisker about it and make a distinction between a mitzvah and a chovah, right? You have this brisker typology. Chaim and many others continue along this path, you know, Salavechik, but many briskers will look at a certain mitzvah and they'll make a distinction between a kiyum ha-mitzvah and a chovah, right? Or a mitzvah chiyuvit and a mitzvah kiyumit. There's the obligation and then there's a kiyum. So if you look at the language of the Rambam very carefully, and by the way, this whole discussion may be rooted in the machloket whether tefillah is a mitzvah at all. It's midoraita, midrabanan, under what circumstances. But take a look at the language of the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah and Perek Chet, beginning of the 8th chapter there. Tefillah. Here, I'll highlight the text for all of you. Tefillah tzibur nishmat tamid. The tefillah of the tzibur is always heard. Okay, person's never turned away empty-handed, if he davens together with the tzibur. Tefillat tzibur nishmat tamid, v'afilu hayu behen chotim. And even if there are, as we mentioned before, sinners among them, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'es v'tefillatan shel rabim. The Gemara that we began with, in Brachot and Dafchet, Hashem does not despise the tefillah of the masses, of the community. Lefichach, therefore, the Gemara have underlined, tzarich adam l'shatef atzmo im hatzibur. Now, the Rambam said, therefore a person must, tzarich, person must lishatef atzmo, join together with the tzibur. But the Rambam doesn't say it's a chuvah. He doesn't write chayav adam like he does in other places. He doesn't count tefillah b'tzibur as a mitzvah. Okay, well, maybe it's only midrabanan. But he doesn't even write that, you know, tiknu chachamenu or mitzvah midivrei sofrim, as he often does when he's talking about a mitzvah midrabanan. The Rambam will write, this is a mitzvah from the rabbis. And it's mitzvah midivrei sofrim, from the scribes, from the rabbis. So the Rambam, his language is not so clear. It's not so clear what he means. And the truth is, you know, maybe the Rambam is lishitato, kedarka bakodesh, when the Gemara itself is unclear. So the Rambam too is unclear. Many, many examples of this. You know, it's not clear whether one should put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. You know, so you have this major machloket rishonim and achronim what to do. Now, the Rambam also is not clear whether one puts on tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not, because the Gemara doesn't deal with it. So the Rambam doesn't deal with it. Here, the Gemara doesn't clearly state that there's a mitzvah midrabanan to daven with tzibur. As we saw, some want to draw a proof from the obligation to wash hands, but it's not clear that we're talking about tefillah or just nitilat yadayim. Some want to draw proof from the story of Rabbi Eliezer freeing his slave, and it's a mitzvah dirabim. But it's not so clear that tefillah b'tzibur is a chovah, is an obligation. So the Rambam has this kind of imprecise language. The Rambam was always so precise. Here, he doesn't say that it's a chovah or chayav adam. He doesn't say that it's a mitzvah midivrei chachamim, it's a mitzvah midrabanan. He just says, therefore, a person should join together with the tzibur. V'lo yitpalel biyachid kol zman she'achol yitpalel im tzibur. And he should not daven by himself as an individual, so long as he can daven with the tzibur. Okay? Again, but he doesn't say it's an obligation. Some, however, despite the Rambam's imprecise language, say no, of course the Rambam believes that it's a mitzvah to daven with a minyan. And they'll say, look, he says, tzarich, you have to. A person has to daven with the tzibur and he should not daven by himself. But I think a very critical and careful reading of the Rambam renders that it's not so precise exactly what the Rambam means. And that leads some to say that no, the Rambam doesn't believe that it's a mitzvah. He believes it's a ma'ala, an advantage. Like the Gemara says, you know, a person should not daven by himself. A person should daven the tzibur. Why? Because the tefillot of the tzibur are heard. They're accepted. A person has a tremendous advantage davening with the tzibur. And then he continues, Ulam Yashkim Adam Bi'ariv Lebet HaKnesset, Shein Tfilato Nishmat Bechol Eit Ela Bevet HaKnesset. We discussed this last week. Person should daven in a shul, because that's the place where tefillah is heard, inside of a shul in a Beit Knesset. We spoke about the specialness of the synagogue last week. Bechol Mi Sheyesh Lo Beit HaKnesset Bi'iro Ve'eno Mitpalel Bo Im HaTzibur Nikra Shachen Ra. We also saw that last week. The Gemara says that all who have a Beit Knesset in their town and don't daven there, they are called a bad neighbor. So again, it's not so clear exactly what the shita of the Rambam is. His language is not so tight. Some say the Rambam understands very simply that, you know, Gemara also is not so clear. Maybe it's just the mala, just an advantage. Others say, no, the Rambam, of course, assumes that it is a mitzvah. And that would appear to be the Hagot Maimonio there in source number 12, where he comments, and just for the sake of time, I'll summarize, but he brings a tshuva from the Ri. The Ri, of course, one of the great 12th century Balei HaTosafot, the Ri HaZaken, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Shmuel of Dampierre. So there was a whole question where there was an individual who made a neder which would not allow his friend to enter into his home, okay, or his fellow. I guess he wasn't much of a friend. So the Ri was asked, what do? You have this guy, and he made a ned there. He made a vow not allowing this guy to come into his home. Right? Reuven made a vow not to allow Shimon to come into his home. I hope there are no Reuvens or Shimons here this year. So the problem is that Reuven's home is where they daven. That's the Beit HaKnesset. Right? That's the only shul in town. Reuven had a shtibel in his home. So Reuven got angry at Shimon. He said, Shimon, I'm making a neder. You are not allowed into my home. The problem was that Reuven's home is where the shtibel was. That's where they davened. So what do you do? What do you do? So the re-answer, Goat Maimon Yud writes, that he said, no, of course Shimon can come and daven. That we are matir the neder in this case. Why are we matir the neder? Because it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to daven with the tzibur. And even if he writes, they only daven in Reuven's home from time to time, even if it's not a permanent Beit HaKnesset. There's a whole discussion, by the way, what establishes something as a Beit Knesset. We spoke a number of weeks ago about the mitzvah of Kiddushat Beit HaKnesset. What creates a Beit Knesset? What if we start davening in our home, or we start a minyan in a machsan, for instance, or in a miklat? Okay, what creates a Beit Knesset? What imbues the Makom with Kiddushah? That's a separate conversation for another time. But the re-answer that even if it's a place where they daven only from time to time, Lifrakim, nevertheless, it's a mitzvah to join together with the Tzibur, and therefore you can be matir this neder. Okay, you need a reason to be matir neder. This is a good reason. But you see from the story that according to the Ri, it is a mitzvah to daven with a tzibur, to daven together with minyan. So the Agot Maimonio brings this on the Rambam to suggest that no, despite the Rambam's imprecise language, where the Rambam says that lefichach tzarich adam, therefore a person should join together with tzibur. So, but Agot Maimonio wants to say that, you see, from this story, from this tshuva of the Ri, that it is indeed a mitzvah. So he brings this dafka to suggest that even according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah. But the Rambam, as I said, if you read him critically and carefully, not so clear. And similarly, the Shulchan Aruch here, in source number 13, the Shulchan Aruch uses this language. He doesn't say chayav adam. Look what he writes. Yishtadel adam. A person should try. A person should try. Litpalel bevet haKnesset im haTzibur, to daven in the Beit Knesset together with the Tzibur. He doesn't say one is obligated to daven with the Tzibur. He says that one should try, which leads some to suggest that according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's just a ma'ala. It's an advantage to daven with the Tzibur, but it's not a formal requirement. It's not a chovah. Okay? Others, however, say no. Despite the Shulchan Aruch's language, yishtadel, of course the Shulchan Aruch means that it is a mitzvah. And you shouldn't chas v'shalom be mizalzel on the mitzvah of tefillah with the tzibur, with the minyan, because that is called a mitzvah derabim, we saw in the Gemara. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes that one has to travel for meal in order to find a minyan, which, as we said before, that's the Shita of Rashi. It's how Rashi reads the Gemara. And so therefore, it would seem over there that the Shulchan Aruch is suggesting that it indeed is a mitzvah to daven with its tzibur. If one has to travel for meal to daven together with its tzibur, he paskins like Rashi. So again, there are those who want to say that despite this language of yishtadel adam, a person should try. No, of course the Shulchan Aruch means that it is indeed a mitzvah to daven with its tzibur. It's not just an advantage, but it's a formal requirement. Okay, but it's not so clear. It's not so clear. You have some achronim that cite the lashon of the Rambam and cite the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and say no. According to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a formal requirement, but it's just an advantage. It's a mila. It's a mila ba'alma. The Emek Bracha, for instance, a wonderful sefer. I don't get any commission from the sales, but the Emek Bracha is a sefer of Rav Aryeh Pomeranchik, who was born in Brisk, a real Brisker. It's a very lumdicious sefer. He was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish and a Stipler. He died in 1942. And it's a classic work of lumdus on Orach Chaim, on the topics of Orach Chaim. There's a lot of lumdus in other areas of halacha. But Orach Chaim, there's not always a lot of lumdus, but he brings a lot of beautiful chakiras and lumdus. And he writes that, if he goes back to the Gemara, which we saw last week, actually, in source number one, we'll just go back to it for a moment. this conversation between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Nachman, where Rabbi Yitzchak asks Rav Nachman, hey, where were you? I didn't see you in shul. And Rav Nachman says, oh, you know, I couldn't come. Lo yachilna. That's the language of the Gemara. I couldn't come. So Rashi says that he was weak. Maybe he was sick. But he just answers, I couldn't come. Lo yachilna. So the Emek Bracha says, well, if it's a mitzvah, if we're talking about a formal obligation, what's his answer? He couldn't come. He should try to come, right? Even if he's weak. Okay, if it's a serious illness, he's exempt, obviously. But if he's just weak, so then maybe he should have made a further attempt to come. Further, the Emek Bracha, he is medayik in the Lashon of the Gemara. What comes next? Where Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, okay, so you know what you could do? If you couldn't get to shul, so you should gather together 10 people. You should have gathered a minyan in your home and davened in your home. And what does Rav Nachman answer him? It's too much of a tircha, too difficult, too much of a burden. It's too much of a headache. Before Shea Gemara discuss what does it mean a burden? Is it a burden on him? Maybe he didn't want to burden other people. But the Emek Bracha, he says, if it's a mitzvah, if tefillah b'tzibur, if davening with a minyan is a obligation, if it's a requirement, so what's this business of it being a tircha? A person is supposed to matriach themselves for tefillah b'tzibur if it is a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, a person is matriach themselves. You know, so the whole discussion as to how much a person has to matriach themselves for a mitzvah, but nevertheless, if it indeed is a mitzvah, even a mitzvah midrabanan, a person should be matriach himself. So what's this business where Rav Nachman says, yeah, you know, I didn't want to be matriach, I didn't want to burden myself, or I didn't want to burden others. So he says, that proves that it is not a mitzvah, it's not an obligation, it is only a mitzvah. But many, many achronim point out with very strong language, no, don't chas v'shalom be mezalzel in tefillah b'tzibur. It is a minyan, it is a mitzvah. Davening with minyan is a mitzvah, it's a chovah, it's an obligation. That would be the shita of the Mishnah Brura, that would be the shita of the Aruch HaShulchan, or of Moshe Feinstein. Many posts. I put here a number of sources. So the question is, if we say that it is a mitzvah, it's a formal obligation, it's a chovah, it's a requirement, or if we just say that it's a mila, it's an advantage, it's a good thing a person should try to do. As I said, there's a machloket, but the overwhelming majority of achronim say that it is a mitzvah. But l'may nafkamina, what are some practical implications? Okay, one would be financial loss. What if a person has to be at work at a certain time and they can't get to a minyan? They have to daven at home, or maybe they have to daven once they get to work, depending on where you live, depending on what time the sun comes up, depending on what time they daven. This is a very real question. Certainly in certain parts of the United States and elsewhere, Baruch Hashem, we have less of an issue here in Israel, but it can be an issue. Person has to leave on a trip. Person has to go somewhere for business. So if you take a look here at the Mishnah Brura in source number 14, the Mishnah Brura writes, V'im hu ones mamon, shemachmat hishtatuto litpalel imat zibur, yavo lidei hefzed, yachol litpalel beveito biyachid o beveita knesset bilot zibur. Okay? If it's going to provide a significant financial loss, if a person does not go to work, leave for work, if a person instead goes to minyan, is makpid to daven with its tzibur, if it's going to impose a financial loss on him. So in that case, he can daven either at home or by himself in shul. As we saw last week, there's a ma'ala, there's an advantage in davening in the synagogue, even if one is davening by himself, not together with the minyan, because there's a special koach, there's a special power to just be in that place. It's a special place. It's a place where the Shekhinah rests. It's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found, according to the language of the Gemara. But the Mishnah Brura, who assumes that it is a mitzvah to daven with the tzibur, nevertheless, even if it's a mitzvah, but if it imposes a financial loss, so in that case, we are lenient and allow a person to daven by himself. And that's how the Mishnah Brura explains this lashon of the Shulchan Aruch Yishtadel, that a person should try. What does it mean, should try? Of course it's a mitzvah. A person should try to fulfill the mitzvah. If this mitzvah is going to impose a financial loss on him, oh, so in that case, we could be lenient and allow him to daven by himself. But there's a distinction between a financial loss versus a missed opportunity or opportunity cost. Okay, so a person has to make a shikul adat. And so the Mishnah Berurah continues this, aval mishum miniat revach. If it's just going to prevent him from making more money, if it's going to be an opportunity cost, lo yana milit pali mat sibur. In that case, we say no. He should not daven by himself, he should daven with the tzibur. Because there's a distinction to be made between not making more money or opportunity cost versus actually taking money out of his pocket. So if he's going to lose customers, for instance, he's in a certain business where he has to be there and he's going to lose customers, he's going to miss out, he's not going to make the opening bell of the stock exchange, whatever, the stock market. So in that case, if he's going to lose money, then we allow him to daven by himself. But if it's just, he's going to miss out on an opportunity to make money, that already we don't allow. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah assumes that it's a mitzvah. If it was just a mala, if it was just an advantage, so then maybe we could say, yeah, okay, even if it's just a missed opportunity to make money, we would allow him to daven by himself. We wouldn't say that he has to daven with a minyan. But since the assumption is that it is a mitzvah, oh, so all of a sudden, then we say that we allow, if it's going to provide a significant financial loss, but just the opportunity goes, we don't allow that, okay? So again, that assumes that it is indeed a mitzvah. And I said that's the prevalent assumption amongst the Achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan also says that it's a mitzvah. He says, V'tam, here in source number 15, V'tam, Bazeh, talking about the importance of davening with a minyan, even if a person wants to learn, there's a whole discussion. You know, if a person is a big Talmid Chacham and they feel like they're in the middle of learning and davening with a minyan is going to somehow take away from their learning. There's examples in the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his associates, his colleagues, how they were exempt from davening b'tefillah because the Torah was their profession their entire life. Torah Tan Omanutan, and there's a question whether we apply that nowadays. We say, no one's on the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's also a discussion in the Gemara of davening in the place of one's learning. We may have touched on that last week. It's preferable to daven where one learns than where one just davens. Does that mean that it's preferable to daven b'yechidus by oneself in the base medrash where one learns? Okay, so there's all these questions. So it's in that context that the Aruch HaShulchan writes that, no, there's a mitzvah of davening with a tzibur, even if a person is a big Talmud Chacham. Okay, so maybe we can make certain exceptions, but the general rule is that you daven with a minyan, because the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that it is a mitzvah, it's a requirement. But tam bazeh tefillah b'tzibur, af al pi shehi d'rabanan, even though it's only mid'rabanan, again, it doesn't assume like the Chavod Yair, that was a dat yachid we saw, that assumes that it's a mitzvah, a kima mitzvah, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, that somehow tefillah b'tzibur maybe is a mitzvah min haTorah, of sanctifying Hashem's name, saying dvarim shebin kedusha. But Aruch HaShulchan, even though it's, we hold that it's only d'rabanan, right? It's a, nevertheless, it's a mitzvah gedolahi. It's a big mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah. That was the language of the Gemara. It's a mitzvah of the rabbin. It's a mitzvah gedolah. It's a big mitzvah. He d'levat tefillah b'tzibur, od yesh b'kedusha v'kadishu baruch hu, sharim mutar l'shachrer evet. He brings that Gemara that we saw, which described how Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave in order to make a minyan to join together. He assumes that a mitzvah midrabanan would allow you to do that, but it has to be a significant mitzvah, a special mitzvah, a mitzvah of the rabbin, or as the Aruch HaShulchan says, a mitzvah gedol. Okay, that's what would allow one to free their slave. Only a very special mitzvah would allow for such a thing. Okay. There are all sorts of other nafka minot, practical implications, whether we say that it's a mitzvah versus just a mila. As we mentioned, the issue of learning, Rav Moshe, here in source number 16, was asked an interesting question. What do you have an individual who learns very, very late at night? Very late at night, and it's difficult for him to get up early in the morning to daven with the minyan. The guy is so stark, right? He's such a big Talmud Chacham that he's learning late into the night, but by doing so, he can't get up in time to daven with a minyan. Does his learning take precedence over tefillah b'tzibur? And again, the question is tefillah b'tzibur a mitzvah or just a ma'ala, just an advantage? If it's a mitzvah, So then, yeah, tefillah b'tzibur should take precedence. If it's a ma'ala, an advantage, so then maybe, no, it's better for this individual to stay up late learning, steiging away, and daven by himself in the morning. And as I said, there's a rich discussion in the Achronim concerning whether, you know, maybe certain individuals could say, you know, I'm going to daven by myself. I'm exempt from davening with the tzibur because of my learning. So the Igros Moshe here, Moshe Feinstein, you know, doesn't like that. And he says, hinei litpalel basara, hu chiyuv mitzvah al hadam, velo rak hidur umale belma. He says, no, begins the tshuva by saying that davening together with a minyan is an obligation. He writes, chiyuv mitzvah al hadam. It's an obligation on the individual. And it's not just a hidur, a beautification of a mitzvah, or embellishment or accentuating a mitzvah. It's not just a ma'ala. It's not just an advantage. It is a mitzvah. And therefore, even though you like learning late at night, better go to bed early and daven with a minyan in the morning. But as I said, there's a whole rich discussion whether maybe, you know, a person wants to daven by themselves in the morning so that they can, you know, either in this case, learn late into the night or even learn in the morning. If, you know, a person's, say their limud is somehow going to be interrupted by tefillah b'tzibur. Do we say that his seder limud is important? And you find examples of great individuals, but the assumption is among the achronim, the consensus among the achronim is that bisman hazeh, we don't allow for that. Bisman hazeh, you know, maybe there are yechidei segula, but we don't say that people, you know, even people that are serious learners should somehow miss tefillah b'tzibur in order to learn. And even, you know, the achronim point out great individuals, great gedolim of the last centuries. You find that, you know, even the greatest would participate in tefillah b'tzibur and would not argue that because their learning is so important, they'll daven by themselves so that they could spend more time in learning. Okay? A question which we touched on last week, and we saw the Prima Gadim and the Biur Halakha, is what about if a person's tefillah is better alone? Maybe a person could argue that they have more kavanah davening by themselves. Do we allow them to daven alone as opposed to davening with a tzibur? Well, again, if we say that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah, is a chovah, is an obligation, then one has to daven with the tzibur, even if one feels that his tefillah is going to be better by himself. And I put a tshuva here in source number 17, another tshuva of Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe says just that, and again concludes, like he does in many places, that tefillah b'tzibur is a chovah. He says, tefillah b'tzibur hu chiyuv. And maybe, again, certain yechidei zgula, certain chassidish rebbes, you know, certain tzaddikim daven by themselves. Maybe they come out to hear the Kaddish, to answer Kedusha, to answer Baruch Hu, but they daven by themselves. But the consensus is, and that's what we saw last week in the Prima Gadim and the Biur Halacha, the consensus is that nowadays we assume that people should daven with the tzibur. And the assumption here of Moshe writes is that that's because tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah. It's not just an advantage, but it's actually an obligation. There are other nafka minot, other practical implications where we say that if it's a mitzvah versus just a ma'ala ba'alma, you know, for instance, one question that arises is a similar question to what we've been mentioning is it preferable to daven nates by oneself? We just asked the question, what if a person can daven better by themselves, have more kavanah davening by themselves? The Prima Gadim and the Biur talk about it in the context of saying the brachot of the Amidah a little louder than one is allowed to, together with the tzibur. So maybe he wants to daven by himself so he can be louder and evoke more kavanah. So we assume that, you know, maybe we have an allowance for yechidei segula, but nevertheless, I'm have to daven with the tzibur because it is a mitzvah. Another similar question is, what about nates? What if a person lives in a community where, you know, there's only one minyan, there's no nates minyan, there's no minyan vatikin? Is it preferable to daven nates by oneself or daven later with a minyan? Okay, so here you have competing values. On the one end, connecting gula to tefillah with the sunrise, which is a tremendous value, right? Or davening with the tzibur, which is a tremendous value and maybe an obligation. So you have this discussion amongst the achronim. If we assume that it's a mitzvah to daven with the tzibur, so maybe that mitzvah of the tzibur takes precedence. Okay, another question that that is raised, you know, this may ruffle some feathers, but what about traveling to an exotic locale where there is no minyan, where a person knows there will not be a minyan? Can one vacation to a destination where there will be no minyan? So that's what I'm open on. If it's lidvar mitzvah, if a person's traveling, you know, to collect tzedakah, or if a person's a mashgiach kashrut and they're traveling, you know, to some factory in who knows where, in China, in Japan, in India. I know someone actually is involved in kashrut in India. So there's not going to be a minyan there, okay, but it's lidvar mitzvah. So we allow you to go. You can miss out on one mitzvah because you're involved in another mitzvah. Usik mina mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. You're involved in the mitzvah of collecting tzedakah or your mashkiach kashrut, fine. But can you stop, just take a vacation? Can you travel to a place where you know there will not be a minyan? So many achronim point out, no. They say, if we're talking about a mitzvah, if it's a chovah, if it's an obligation, if one is required to daven bitzibur, so one is not allowed to just willy-nilly travel to a place where there will not be a minyan. Again, so many achronim are machmir. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi, ask your posek. The truth is, today it's not so hard to find a destination where there's a kosher hotel or a kosher program, where there's an organized tour of Israelis where you can visit an exotic location and also have kosher food and also have minyanim three times a day. But again, you know, ask your posek whether or not it's permissible to travel to a destination just on a vacation where you'll know there won't be a minyan there. Also, as we mentioned before, the distance one has to travel. And if indeed it is a mitzvah to daven with tzibur, if it's an obligation, so then yeah, one has to travel a distance of 4 mil to go and be a part of that minyan. So what does 4 mil mean? So I said before, it could mean 72 minutes. A person may have to drive over an hour to get to a minyan. So let's say you do find that hotel, but there's no minyan locally. So then maybe you're obligated, instead of praying by yourself, to daven, you know, at a significant distance. I participated in January in a wedding in northern New Jersey in a place where it was at a hotel, and I stayed at the hotel. There weren't any minyanim around. The closest minyan was in Muncie. So it was about maybe 25, 30 minutes. So, okay. You know, we had a car, it wasn't so bad. But you know, maybe a person has to travel up to 72 minutes. The time it takes to travel 4 mil, if a mil is an 18-minute walk, let's say, so then 72 minutes, maybe a person has to travel 72 minutes to get to a place where there's a minyan, if indeed it's a mitzvah. There's a whole discussion about building an Eruv Tchumin, okay, which may imply that it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, depending on you paskin, whether we allow you to build an Eruv Tchumin, to travel past Tchum Shabbat to get to a minyan on Shabbat. I want to end with two very important and very relevant issues. One is sakana. The last few weeks we've been looking together at the mitzvah of Kiddushat Beit HaKnesset, how we are supposed to behave inside of a shul, the tremendous advantage of davening inside of a shul, tefillah in the Beit Knesset, the special koach that it has, and tefillah b'tzibur, davening together with a minyan. And even if we assume that tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah, is a chovah, is an obligation that one must do, nevertheless, when it comes to safety, obviously, we err on the side of caution. And the Mishnah Berurah cites the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, where there's a concern maybe for sakana. You're traveling at night on empty roads. This is before there's street lighting. There's no street lamps. So the Mishnah Berurah, citing the Aruch HaShulchan, says that a person's exempt from davening with a tzibur, assuming it's a minyan even. But a person's exempt if there's a concern for one's safety. Person's going to have to walk to Arvit at night or walk home, and there's a sakana, even safek sakana, even if there's a concern for doubt. It's not clear that it's dangerous, but maybe there's a concern for danger. We say even a safek sveka when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Even if there's a shadow of a doubt, we err on the side of caution. We say safek, we say safek nefashot lahakel. We are lenient when it comes to even safek, even a doubt. Safek nefashot lahakel. And it's not chas v'shalom that we are mizalzel in the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, but no, we are being machmir in the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. And this, of course, has tremendous relevance for the current situation we find ourselves in, where unfortunately there is now an uptick in the cases of corona. There's a significant elevation in the amount of cases, and they just decided just the other day that you can only have 19 people davening together in a Beit HaKnesset. So as important as tefillah is, as tefillah b'tzibur is, as tefillah in a Beit HaKnesset is, if a person doesn't feel safe, either if a person, you know, feels they might get sick, if a person is vulnerable, if a person, chas v'shalom, is immunocompromised, or if a person may infect others, if there's a concern that a person might be getting sick, of course a person is not allowed to go to a Beit HaKnesset, is not allowed to daven with a minyan, even as important as these things are, as big of a mitzvah as they are. It's not that we're chas v'shalom being mizalzel, that we are reducing or degrading the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, but we are being machmir. We are stringent with the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. We are more machmir with safety than with isur. Right? We say chamira sakanta mi isura. And with pikuach nefesh, we apply the pasuk v'nishmartem me'od l'nafshotecham. You are supposed to exceedingly guard yourself. Me'od. How many times does the Torah say me'od by a mitzvah? So we have to be very careful. Don't misconstrue this series of shiurim about the importance of tefillah in a Beit Knesset and the importance of tefillah b'tzibur. As important as these things are, one's health is of the utmost importance. Okay, so let's just be very clear. And the Mishnah Berurah says, when it comes to safety, if there's a concern, even a concern, a doubt, a shadow of a doubt for sakana, we say a person is exempt from davening b'tzibur. And similarly, in our situation, again, if davening together becomes a concern for sakana, that people are going to contract this virus, so we have to close the shuls again. Okay, they're very clear. I think I've told you, I was one of the first in this community, if not the first, to close down the shul, even before the Misrad HaBriut said that shuls had to close down. This was during the first wave. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. We can't play games. So if there's even the slightest concern for sakana, so that's one issue. Okay, so certainly a concern for sakana would exempt one from davening together with a minyan, as important as it is. And the other thing I'll just point out is that if one is davening alone at home, now obviously if a person can make a minyan outdoors or a minyan with neighbors from their mirpeset, we've spoken about that in the past, so that is great. But if a person is davening alone at home, as we saw last week, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara that we began with, Gemara Brachot Dav Zayin Dav Chet, the story between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So the Shulchan Aruch rules that a person should daven at the same time that the tzibur is davening at. So one davening alone at home should make sure to daven at the same time so that his tefillot ascend together with the tefillot of the tzibur. It's not as if he's davening together exactly with the tzibur. However, his tefillot at least can ascend together with the tzibur, and it's better than nothing, okay? We have to make the best of our current situation. Just another point, and we'll end with this. The Maram Bennett writes, it's an interesting question. It's also in the Tshuvot v'Hanhagot of Rav Sternbuch. But what if a town doesn't have a minyan? So the Maram Bennett was asked about a town that, you know, doesn't have a minyan. Maybe they got 3 Jews, 4 Jews, 5 Jews, just a handful of Jews, but there's no minyan in the town, right? So is it better to daven by oneself or to daven together with the 4 or 5 people, even if it's not a minyan, right? Even if it's just a handful of people. You can't say Dvarim Shem Kiddusha. You can't say Kaddish and Kiddusha and Baruch Hu, etc. But is there a value in coming together and davening, even if you are not, you know, you're not a minyan. You know, you're not making up a minyan. You don't have a quorum of 10 men. So the Maram Bennett rules, and this is also how the Tshuvot v'Hanhagot of Sternbuch paskins, that yeah, that's also called a tzibur. We find that, you know, that even a handful of people, that's also called a community. And maybe there is a value, while it's not considered tefillah b'tzibur, nevertheless, there's a value of davening together with other people. We saw last week how the Gemara says that the Shechina rests upon 10 Jews davening together, even 3 Jews sitting together in judgment, 3 dayanim, 3 judges, 2 Jews learning Torah, even 1 Jew learning Torah. So having a few Jews together to daven, there's also a value in that. So if it's possible for a person to daven from their mirpeset or daven in their building, maybe even not with a minyan, if they can't get a minyan together, or if they have people in their home, maybe it's better to do that. If they can't daven with a minyan, if all of a sudden there's another lockdown and they can't make a minyan, and if they have some people in their home, siblings, whatever, you know, children, grandchildren, whatever it is, you know, maybe there's a value in davening all at the same time. So again, one davening alone at home should, as the Gemara in Brachot and the Shulchan Aruch writes, should time it to be at the same time as the tzibur davens, if there are minyanim taking place, right? Or, you know, what we did when we closed down our shul is, even though we weren't having a minyan, we said, okay, you know, these are zmanei tefillah. We put out a calendar. We're going to daven in shacharit at this time. So at least everyone could daven together at the same time. Maybe that's another value in the Zoom minyan, which also is not really a minyan. We spoke about that in the past, but maybe davening at the same time, right, via Zoom, has some sort of koach, has some sort of strength, or has some sort of advantage. So a person should time their tefillah to be at the same time of the tzibur, if they can't daven with the tzibur. Or as we just mentioned, in the name of Maran Bennett and Rosh Sternbach in his Tshuva Vanagot, so maybe they could daven with, you know, just a few other people. There's a value in that as well. As I said, we have to make the best of our current situation. There's a tremendous value in davening together with a minyan, davening with a tzibur and mitzvah shem. Things should turn around for the better. We should have a refuah shleima. All those who are sick should merit a speedy recovery. And we should see and hear b'sorot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot for Am Yisrael. We should really see things turn around. Mirtz Hashem, we'll be able to daven the Rov Am once again in the Beit Knesset all together. I'll take any questions to unmute all. You are all unmuted. Any questions? Okay, have a wonderful day. So nice to see all of you. Great week. See you, Amir Tashem, 1 week from this morning.